this a fun sermon. Well, it's still going to be a fun sermon. Anytime I'm up front, you never know what's going to happen. That's true. That's an amen right there. Okay. So Proverbs, let's talk about Proverbs in general. Who was it that came up with Proverbs? Who's the main author of the book of Proverbs? Solomon. Who else? I'm getting the deer in the headlight look. This is great. Nope. No, David did Psalms. Okay, so there's a king, Limnah, there's Agar, there's a couple of them. There's three or four of them that did Proverbs. Proverbs actually came during Solomon's time. However, there is some discussion in the biblical world, which is echelons above me, that they are saying that part of the Proverbs, chapters 22 through 24, actually have the Egyptian influence in them. So that's something that I'm looking at. I know I have a few researchers here that like to look that stuff up. But there's actually some Egyptian influence into Proverbs. And it's not bad. It means that Solomon and the other people that added to Proverbs used some universal truths. Because if you look at Proverbs, there seems to be a lot of universal truths there. And there's also a lot of compare and contrast. The good people, the not so good people. The happy people, the really not happy people. You know, that kind of stuff. So there's those things to consider. But I got to looking at, you know, we are good. We always want to make our lists. We always want to have our, here's my resolutions for the next year. Here's the things I want to accomplish. Now, I won't say my wife's name, Raquel, but Raquel, show them your list. This is her list. This is a list that we want to do in one day kind of thing. Okay, so we counted, there were 15 items on this list? 20-something, okay. So she crossed off ones like, well, let's clean the bathroom. Okay, great. How about vacuum? Good. The ones that never got touched, though, were paint the walls, wash the walls, do the trim. The hard stuff. So she has her list. How many of you have your lists at home? How many of you still have your lists at home that you had from New Year's Eve saying, here's my resolutions for 2018? Okay, how many of you crumpled them up, threw them away, or put them in the shredder so you just forget about it? Yeah, Keith's over there going, yeah, and 3 years worth went down the shredder. Okay, so I decided, I go, we like lists. So who else makes lists? God. Go to Proverbs 30. So all of you should be in there by now. It's the book after Psalms. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 through 31. And we're just going to walk through these 15 verses because I found some very interesting things about them as I prayed about them, as I researched them. I was rather flabbergasted at some of the things that I saw, that I learned about them. I go, this is cool. I've got to share this with you guys. So, at the beginning, it says, the leech has two daughters. Give, give. I've looked at this stuff for years, and it never made any sense to me. What do we care about the leech? But the leech, what does the leech do in the natural world? Sucks out blood. Medicine, modern medicine has gone back to something that's been used for 2,000 or 3,000 years. In certain things, they'll use a leech to clean out wounds. And it works very, very well. Amazingly enough, the FDA approved it. But what it's really saying is when they say give, give, it's saying give, give, I am greedy, I am never satisfied, so give me money. Give me your lifeblood. Give me your spirit. That sort of thing. There's that a little bit deeper meaning than just the surface of a leech that you'll find in the tropics. Let's go down to the next one. It says, there are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. The grave and a barren womb, a land never filled with water, a fire that doesn't say enough, an eye that mocks a father and rejects obedience to a mother, may the ravens of the river valley peck it out and the eagle's young eat it. Now, that makes no sense to me. I go, Lord, why is this in here? You have three things never satisfied, four things that never say enough, and then you've got this crazy sentence at the end. It talks about the eye and the disobedience and the eye and the eyes being taken out. So the grave in there refers to Sheol, paradise, Hades. It refers to the paradise and the not so happy paradise of the dead. I've yet to see where it sends a sign up to earth and says, I got enough dead, I don't need any more. So that's really what it's saying. It's never satisfied. Sheol is always going to be taking the dead. And the barren womb. The barren womb refers to Genesis 30, verse 1. So Genesis happened before that, of course, but it refers to Rachel, where she is talking to Jacob, because Leah has been having all the babies. Rachel has not. So she is, that barren womb is a direct reference to her saying, give me children or I will die. What an interesting thought to put into Proverbs. A land never filled with water. That's drought. We are in the second thirstiest state in the nation. And we have huge amounts of water that we use. And right now, how's our winter panning out? I am ready to go put on shorts and start looking for a suntan. You know, that sort of thing. It's been a very crazy. Now, last winter, though, you had how many feet of snow up here at the time?
And minus 20.
And in Salt Lake and in West Jordan, where we're from, we had about that much snow and it was warm. Okay? The difference is 70 miles, but interesting how that happens. A fire that doesn't say enough. You never hear the fire say, okay, I'm good. I've got enough wood. I've got enough natural gas, that kind of stuff. It's insatiable. You what?
California.
Yeah, they lost some people out there in the mudslides. But a fire is all-consuming. It never says enough. But here's where I want to zero in on. An eye that mocks a father and rejects obedience to a mother, may the ravens of the river valley peck it out and the eagle's young eat it. Okay, so this is dealing with severely disobedient children from the Old Testament culture. It's dealing with those that would, actually what the Bible says, it's the children or the sons who curse the mother and the father. So this relates to Exodus 21:17. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Interesting. So what this is a child, older child, mocked the father, rejects the obedience. And when it gets down here, it says the ravens of the river valley peck it out. What they're saying is that body has been hung in a tree. The body has been hung in the tree. And the first thing that birds go to, the carnivore kind of birds like ravens and crows, they go for the eyes. They instinctively take the eyes out. So this little sentence right here is an admonition to the nation of Israel and to us. Not that we're going to have ravens come taking out our eyes. But it's improper burial. They're eaten by the birds. And they will probably just be burned. They won't receive a proper burial. That's a horrible thing. Okay, let's go to the next one. Three things are too wonderful for me, four that I can't figure out. The way of an eagle in the sky. The way of a snake on a rock. How many love snakes? Yeah, okay, you're all in agreement. Wow. The way of a snake on a rock. The way of a ship out on the open sea, and the way of a man with a woman. Now, if you look at the first three, the eagle, the snake, and the ship, those are all natural things. You're dealing with nature. You're dealing with lower forms of life. You're dealing with the sea, and there are very few ships out there that are able to say, I'm in control of my own destiny. The ocean will have no effect on me. Until you get into the middle of a hurricane and you're watching the ship go up and down. Now, I watched that one time. I went to YouTube. I was curious. I went to YouTube. I saw this Navy destroyer that had really heavy seas in the North Seas around England. And this thing was going so high up in the air that you could see the bottom of the bow. And I go, I felt sorry. And this is a tin can. In other words, a Navy destroyer, which is not very big. And so when they hit the water, they hit it really hard. And this is where you discover whether you are able to withstand seasickness or not. And you're a sailor. And that's a very bad thing, is to be a person who has seasickness. But we digress. All right. So those are natural things. And then one of the things that I studied about it is it says it's linked by operation. It's life. It's a natural thing. But the way of a man with a young woman, this is where it's no longer natural. What this is really talking about is sexual sin. This is really talking about sex before marriage. This is really talking about adultery and other sorts of sexual sins. Because that leads into the next verse. This is the way of an adulterous woman. It's interesting, you have all these lists, and all of a sudden, here's this blurb on the adulterous woman. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. It's linked to verses 18 and 19 above, the way of a man, the ship, the snake, and the eagle. But it says, she says, she has wiped out her conscience. She has wiped out her ability to feel right and wrong. That's the emphasis on this verse. And she removes all evidence of wrongdoing by the symbolic wiping of her mouth. All the food is gone. I'm clean. I have done nothing wrong. So what she has done is scarred her conscience, in effect, by having that comment. She denies everything. She denies right and wrong. She is self-justified in her own way. Let's go down to the next set of verses. All three things the earth trembles at four, it can't bear up. This is verses 21 through 23. At a servant when he becomes king, that's a scary thought. Fools when they are full of food. At a detested woman when she gets married. And a female servant when she replaces her mistress. Okay, the servant. The reference to that is, this would be a servant who's now been placed up into high esteem with the king, and if the king dies, the servant gets to take over. Now, we have positive examples of that in the Old Testament. For instance, Joseph. He was so highly esteemed by the king there in Egypt that he said, you're in charge. You run the nation. It was the same way with Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar. And also King Cyrus, you are so well respected. You run my nation. You are in charge of all the princes and the satraps, as they call them, in Babylon. Fools. We more than once have seen fools in our lives. So what's a fool? Where's the mic at? Make sure it's on, please. So what's a fool? Who can give me not a demonstration. Give me, whoa, don't go there. But who can give me a description? What's a fool? Larry, I know you're waiting to say something.
Mainly, my definition may be somebody who has reality issues and don't see things the way they really are. That's one and probably
about. Okay, so we have fools in government.
And me.
Yeah. So that's an amen. What about on this side? Betty, let me bring us back to you.
Yeah. A fool says there's no God.
And it says that in Psalms numerous times. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. All right. So a fool. Okay.
A fool says there's no global warming. That's all I
Well, this is a good group today. Okay, here we go. Here we go. The floodgates have been opened. Okay.
A fool is someone who behaves against their own best interest.
Yeah, that's right. We've all done that, haven't we? Yeah. Oh, I love this. You guys are good. You're warming up. I love it. Okay. So fools also are rude. They can be vicious. They're extravagant. They talk too much. And if, as it talks about in the Old Testament, if they're the ones who are at the head of the table, they're the ones that dominate all the talk. Everybody else just listens, eats, drinks their wine, and hopes that it ends quickly. Okay, let's look at the next one. A detested woman when she gets married. I really had second thoughts about whether to touch that part of that verse or not. And a female servant when she replaces her mistress. I'm going to go to the easy one first. The female servant. This is the one who would be the handmaiden of a princess, the queen, that sort of thing, who wants to make sure that she's taken care of when the princess dies, the queen dies, and that sort of thing. And if she doesn't get her way, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. That's the whole premise of that particular part of the verse. Now, the detested woman when she gets married. I approach that cautiously. And some of you are giggling away. So, Bonnie, what would be a detested woman?
You know, I don't know. I really don't. I look at that and I'm a little stumped. I'm going, why a detested woman when she gets married? I don't know that I get the symbolism.
Well, Betty behind you has the answer, so go ahead and give her the mic.
Well, I'm going to think a detested woman that gets married, because people would say, well, why is she getting married? Nobody likes her. Maybe there's some jealousy involved. That's all I got.
You've done well, young Jedi. Okay, anybody want to be brave on this side? Oh, Betty.
My version actually says a hateful woman when she is married.
And that would be a
bad place to be if you're the husband.
Yes. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, let's moving on. See, I love the list because it's fun to kind of dig into these things a little bit. Okay, so Teresa, I'm going to have you hold this. Let's go down to the next one here. Four things are among the smallest on earth, but they are extremely wise. And this is where I want to stay for a minute because it's also at the end. It says, ants as creatures aren't strong, but they store away their food in the... Badgers, as creatures, aren't powerful, but they make their homes in the rocks. Locusts don't have a king, but they march together in ranks. You can catch lizards in your hand, but they are in kings' palaces. And that's a secret message, and we'll get to that. For those of you that like Spy versus Spy, we'll get to that. I left it. I did the right thing and left it. You know, there are just times as a pastor that I'm learning to just gloss over it and keep on going, and I'm running as fast as I can from that. Mom didn't raise a son that's stupid, you know. That's, yeah, no fool, no. Uh-huh. Okay, let's go back to the ants. What's unique about the ants? What's unique about the ants? They're strong, but how small are they? Teeny. Now, most of us at one time or another have had sugar ants or the Argentinian ants, you know, the little tiny ones that are the annoyance. They don't really do anything wrong. They're just always in your sugar, your flour, the food, wherever. You see them going across the floor and you're wondering what the trail is that they're following. You know, but ants, but they work really hard. They don't have a leader, per se. But it's just how God made them. They're always working. They're always storing up food for whenever a famine might hit. You know, that sort of thing for them. Because they're a creature that has to have water, that has to breathe. They do breathe. They do have to have food. But they aren't strong. Badgers. Now, there's a couple of different translations for the word badgers. Badgers would also be called Arabian mice. I have never heard that before. I'm fascinated by that. But the badgers that I've seen are mean, ornery, cantankerous, and don't mess with them. Yeah, they're very stubborn creatures. Badgers as creatures aren't powerful, but they make their homes in the rocks. So they understand survival. They understand how to look out for themselves, to hide, and they're only going to, the only time they're going to bother you is when you bother them. But yet, they're very small. Was it eating the zookeeper? Yeah, they're not very big, but they do have these teeth. Okay? All right. The next one. Locusts don't have a king, but they march together in ranks. So these first three examples are, they don't have somebody in charge, but yet they all know what to do. There's wisdom. That's the point of this particular short list, is there's wisdom in what the first three are doing. They're taking care of themselves. They're taking care of their community. And they don't have to have a leader in order to see the same vision and move the same way. Now, let's look at the last one where it says, you catch lizards in your hand, but they are in king's palaces. This is a reference. There's been some discussion about this, but this is a reference to those that are in exile in Babylon and in Greece. And what is saying is neither power or a king is necessary for survival. It refers to those in exile living under Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, and then the different kings that were in Greece. I was fascinated by that. So here is Proverbs ministering to those several generations later, probably four or five generations later, saying, you can do this thing. Now, how long did the exile last in Babylon? How long did it last? It only lasted 70 years, which is actually pretty short. Because when you compare that to the time in Egypt that the Israel nation was there during the time of Jacob, Joseph, and finally Moses coming along, it was over 400 years. 400 years. But it's funny during that exile, to make a point here, it's funny about during that exile in Babylon that if you read the book of Daniel and some of the other history, the history books of the Old Testament, they were actually, towards the end, being treated very well. Very well. And so it wasn't necessarily all bad for them. Now let's look at the last items, 29 through 31. There are three things that are excellent in their stride, four that are excellent as they walk. A lion, who's a warrior among beasts, which doesn't back down at anything, unless he's getting stomped by an elephant. The strut of a rooster or a male goat, and a king with his army. Those three verses right there are meant to be the positive verses contrasted to verses 24 through 28. So 24 through 28, it's all the natural. It's all about wisdom. But here's all the power in the next three. A lion. Okay, we've all seen lions either on National Geographic Channel, Discovery Channel, in the zoo, you know, things like that. They're big. I mean, they're really big, and they have an insatiable appetite. And if they look at you a certain way, you have just become their meal, even if they are behind the moats and all that kind of stuff in a zoo. Right, Narnia. And who wrote that? C.S. Lewis. Okay. It's a great book. C.S. Lewis books are very, very good. The strut of a rooster. I've been around roosters. They're on the other side of the wire. I'm happy where they're at. I'm happy where I'm at. I don't need to mix it up with them. And especially if you've got, you know, folks that are big into cockfighting and they have those little blades or whatever they have on their feet. I mean, they're trained. That's what they're doing. They're trained for this kind of stuff. So they can be mean, ornery, and they're not afraid of anybody. Now, male goat. This is, you know, when a male goat shows up for the herd, he's in charge. The rest of the herd follows him. It's also a kind of a sideways reference to Christ. For when he's on earth and he has the thousands that are following him through the Middle East, and even to us today. And a king with his army. I've seen the generals. They're strutting. They're proud. They got their chest puffed out. They've got all the troops in review out front. They're in charge. It's a glorious moment. But a king or the general, when they're by themselves, are just like you and me. They're no different. And with that, all the power with them and with the loyalty of the troops, they're nothing. Something to think about. So I've tried to make this morning a little different. Instead of going, let's talk about a particular sin, or let's talk about where you're messing up, or whatever, I'm going, you know what? God's got his list too. However, he does not have to deal with Santa Claus where checking your list twice, are you naughty or nice? You know, he's not worried about that. You know, we're all covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? So when you go back to Proverbs, take a look at some of the other lists that are sprinkled throughout Proverbs and go, why is that list there? This today was meant to be a more, as you know me, everybody's got their Bibles out. We're talking about it. I'm trying my best not to embarrass you, but I do anyway. When I hand you the mic, because you and you're going, oh God. Okay. How's everybody doing this morning? All right. So make your own list and see how things go one of these days. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. I think it is offering time.